Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Business Radio X. Today, I've got Stephanie Jolic in the room with me, in the studio, I should say, here at downtown 200 Peachtree. Stephanie is the CEO and president of Collection Luna, or Collection Luna, if you can't understand my terrible Spanish accent. And she actually started Collection Luna at age 26, which it was in 1999. And the whole focus of the company, which is why we wanted her here on the Chic Perspective show today, is all around empowering women and alleviating poverty, furthering the sustainability of the cultures that she's working in. Stephanie, welcome to the Chic Perspective show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
So tell me about the journey that you've been on starting this company. Where did the initial inspiration come from, and when did you decide to turn it into a business that could help you achieve these lofty goals?
Okay, well, I actually got my degree in Latin American Literature and Anthropology at Georgia State University, and I had studied a year in Mexico as well, at Universidad de Guadalajara. And I was, you know, really in love with the Latin American culture. And after I finished my honors thesis, I wasn't quite ready to go out into the world, let's say. I still wanted to play a little bit and travel a little bit and, you know, still try and search for what my next step was. Was it grad school or Peace Corps? But I wasn't really quite ready for 2 years of the Peace Corps. So I found a 3-week volunteer program in Guatemala, working with women who had just survived the Civil War. It was a co-op empowering these women who had just experienced a 36-year conflict that resulted in genocide, rape, murder, their villages being destroyed. And
some pretty horrific things.
Pretty unimaginable things, really. So working with them for 3 weeks and hearing their stories and seeing their courage and their resilience and that they were still able to laugh. The Peace Accord was just signed the year before I went there. So it was very fresh. Okay. It only ended in 96. So working with these women and just seeing their courage was just initially one of those things that really impacted me and was life-changing. And then after that, definitely, yeah. I traveled around for 2 months by myself backpacking. And that's when I discovered their textile tradition and became completely enchanted with the richness and the colors and the textures, which I've brought you a few samples today, and you can see that.
They are really some incredible tapestries. And I had no idea of the ornate nature of the designs that you would see in that kind of area. So I can see why you were taken with that. What's the, in the culture, you know, it does... the design of garments play an important role?
Absolutely. Well, and that was another thing that really, looking at them visually, they're stunning. But when you realize that each pattern, each symbol, it all has a spiritual meaning, it's part of their cosmovision. So there is so much more besides the beauty in each item. And then when I learned that it was a 2,000-year-old textile tradition on top of that, I looked at these women and I mean, they're geniuses, but at the same time, they were the poorest people in Guatemala, and I've never seen extreme poverty like that. I'd lived in Mexico, but never saw the poverty in the same way. So seeing, you know, living with these women on the co-op, then learning about their textiles and the geniusness behind them, but then seeing that they were the poorest women, like, it was just a contradiction that didn't make sense to me. And so those three elements really impacted me and were the inspiration for Collection Luna. But it took me a couple of years to actually, after that, I was too young. I knew I wanted to do something with all of it, but I wasn't mature enough to really know exactly what to do with all that I had learned and gained. It took me a couple of years to find that step.
Sure. Well, I mean, you don't instantly think, oh, I can put this all together into, a market opportunity or something that really can have a huge impact on this culture.
Absolutely.
So when you decided to start a company, what was the essence of the business model that you put together, or really the mission of the company that you began?
Well, I definitely, you know, my first time in Guatemala was the huge experience. And I knew coming away from that, I wanted to do something that created positive social change. I wanted to work in Latin America, if it wasn't Guatemala, somewhere. And I wanted to work with their art and their tradition. So I knew kind of what I wanted to do. And I actually grew up the daughter of two entrepreneurs, and my mother was an interior designer and an artist and an antique dealer. So I grew up skipping school, going to Lakewood Antique Market, Scott's Antique Market, Atlanta Decorative Arts Center. So I had that nice. Already in my blood, and I had that influence from my parents. And whenever I was traveling and living in Mexico, I was always buying stuff for my mom to sell, never realizing I was getting educated again. First, you know, she let me skip school, and that was education. And then, you know, I went for 6 weeks to Mexico, and I ended up there a year, being that I would help my parents buy folk art and antiques. So inevitably, I was learning how to be a businesswoman, but, you know, that's what my mom did, or in part of what she did. And so, you know, I wanted to do something different. But
that's awesome. You had a very non-traditional entree into what it would be like to pursue a creative business venture.
Absolutely. And then so I graduated and came back after my volunteering, didn't want to go to grad school and did not know what to do, but I knew I had to do something that created positive social change. So I talked to my mentor at Georgia State, and he said, you know, they're really short on high school Spanish teachers. Why don't you do that? So I did that for little over a year. And every time I had a vacation, I was in Guatemala or Mexico traveling and buying. And then had an early retirement after a year.
Nice.
I just knew, it was like, it was just not my journey, not my passion. And you have to be passionate about teaching. And I respect teachers so much more after that year. So I'm in Little Five Points working at Aurora Coffee Shop, making more money than I was teaching, mind you, on tips. And, you know, I have this midlife crisis and start calling my parents because I don't know what to do with my experience, my knowledge, my wisdom, my vision, my dreams, my passions. And I just refuse to get a job to get a job. I'd rather work at a coffee shop. And so I was calling them in tears every day, very dramatic midlife crisis at 26. And finally, they couldn't take it anymore. And they were like, okay, honey, come over for dinner. Let's talk about this. So I went over for dinner and we had a bottle of wine. And my dad said, you know what, honey? You already have been doing your own business for us, you know, by helping us.
Right.
Why don't I give you $3,000 and let's just do it. And if it doesn't work, it's $3,000. You're not having to pay a bank back. It's daddy, you know.
And right. Low risk, but let's make it official and really start doing it like a business.
And you really fell in love with these people in Guatemala. Let's go to Guatemala and let's just start it. So he calls Delta, and Delta had just started flying to Guatemala. He hangs up and he said, well, I got us three tickets, but we're leaving in a day and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
There was an amazing deal. And so I had really no time. I just had to jump in and do it and follow my heart and passion and
That's
dream.
That's the best sometimes when you're not given a opportunity to chicken out.
Exactly. Like, and think of all the – I couldn't think of any risks. I just had to do it and just, you know, I'd had this vision for 2 years. So.
Right. It wasn't going away.
Yeah.
You knew that you had to take action on it and really see where it led you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I found myself in Guatemala a day and a half later with no business name or business license, but, you know, $3,000 in my pocket and artisans I had already kind of bought from before during my travels there. So I went back to the people I knew and started buying from them. And initially I was just buying in the artist markets and just buying from different families and bringing it back and setting up at Lakewood and Scott's.
Okay.
So that comes back full circle.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't doing wholesale or wasn't doing any design work. It was just kind of buying and selling. And everything I was buying was selling. So I kept having to go back. And then eventually I was kind of looking at the stuff going, wow, that could be like high fashion if I could tweak it a little bit, you know, versus being kind of so bohemian and hippie. It could, you know, sell for more price. I could, you know, get it into different markets and.
Right. So chicifying.
Exactly.
The more bohemian style clothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then I started, you know, and at that point, it had been a year or so, and I started really finding the families I really wanted to work with and really connected with, and the co-ops and the women and feeling more comfortable to design the stuff as well. And then that's when I also started getting into wholesale. I had a couple of people approach me at the antique markets and asking if I sold wholesale. And that's when I started getting into wholesale. And so the business was evolving very natural and organically on its own, and growing naturally and organically on its own where it wasn't too much. And so I was able to grow with it and as if I was getting my master's degree in business along the way.
So how did you learn the wholesale part of, I mean, marketing? Because that really changes the whole way that you're going to market with your product.
Absolutely. Well, I obviously had to scale up and had to be able to get quantities of items.
Right, no more onesie twosies.
Yeah. And at that point, luckily, I had already had some trial and error with different women and artisans groups and was really comfortable with the groups I was working with. And it was still, you know, education on both of our parts. And luckily, my first clients were very sympathetic because of the nature of my product, too. So I'm not in a factory in China creating handbags or pillows. I'm, you know, it's all handmade. And even now to this day, you know, most of my clients or all of them are very compassionate and sympathetic to the fact if things aren't exactly right, because they can't be. They're all handmade. So and
right.
That's what's one of the beauty and selling points of the product as well.
That each item is unique.
Absolutely.
It didn't come off of a manufacturing line.
Yes.
Now, because each product is unique, do you find that it's difficult to describe the value proposition to the customers, or do they get that?
Well, they get it. I mean, I'm very good about educating my customers about it's a 2,000-year-old textile tradition. It, you know, each item tells a story. And actually, each village has their own pattern they weave.
Really?
Yeah. So
it's a tradition that's been going on mm-hmm. for these thousands
yeah.
of years.
So each village has their typical pattern. And each woman will tweak it and kind of put her own into it. But you can look at the general clothing or the skirt or the shirt and know, oh, that's from this village. That's from this village. Oh, she's from that village. So...
So when someone buys one of your products, do they know, is that included in when they make the purchase? Like
yeah.
where this came from mm-hmm. and some of the traditional aspects
definitely,
of it as well?
Yeah.
I would think people would really like knowing
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. And people want a story. And luckily it's becoming a trend that they want to know it's helping people. They want to know it's fair trade. They want to know the story behind it. And people... I mean, I've been doing this for 13 years, and women's empowerment and sustainability and recycled and eco-friendly and fair trade weren't terms.
Right. These are relatively new
yeah.
And descriptions.
So initially, I was like telling the story, and people were like, mm-hmm, it's really pretty. How much is it? And I'd be like, no, I want to tell you the story first because it's really important to me. It's not only a beautiful product, but, you know, it's preserving a tradition. And that's the anthropologist in me coming out, too, I think.
It's fascinating that you've been able to weave together so many of these dimensions of your earlier life experience into
Absolutely.
Business now. So because it's so unique, who do you feel like are competitors from a business standpoint? Are there competitors in the market?
Well, certainly, like I said, there's more and more people focused on women's empowerment and fair trade and sustainability and eco-friendly. And not only... There's other people in Guatemala working, of course, and around the world in other indigenous and ethnic cultures. I think what's really unique about mine is it's truly a partnership, and I take extra time to be there 6 times a year with my artisans, which gives my business a heart and soul. And my clients know that I'm very close with my families, and that really makes a difference when they're purchasing from me, that they know, you know, I'm godmother to these children. My artisans' children. I go to weddings, birthdays, you know, events that are important, and that I'm truly a family with these artisans.
That's amazing, the type of relationship that you've been able to develop with the people in mm-hmm. Guatemala. What do you credit the success of that to?
Definitely spending extra time there and really showing an interest and really in them and their culture and, you know, this last trip, I went and spent the night with my artisans, which I've never done before because they live very remotely, and spent the whole weekend with them. And
so what was it like?
It was so beautiful. It was priceless. Like the way we bonded, because we're close and I do events with them, but to spend that much time with them and stay at their house with them and cook with them and, you know, go hiking with them and, you know, visit with their parents. And it was really beautiful. And we sat down and they told me, you know, the effects I've had in their life, which we haven't shared often or rarely often, and how I've changed their lives. And the house we stayed in was the house that my business built. And they told me stories of how Lydia, the woman, was in childbirth with their last two children and would have died had they not had the money to get to the best hospital in Guatemala, and the children would have died in childbirth. So hearing kind of impact, and the 13-year-old daughter, or, you know, and sister of the brother, her brother and daughter who, or sister who almost passed away, was telling me the story, and I just, that's what inspires me to keep going, because I know I'm making huge impacts in these people's lives and their communities.
So if you weren't doing what you were doing, you know, what would these people's lives look like?
Well, I can definitely tell in this one village, you know, it's the money that's gone into the school, bringing better education, better maternal health. And they look at me as a role model, and their parents are always asking me to talk to their kids about the importance of education and not getting married too early. So I'm also having effects in that way as well. That's kind of sustainable, because if they're telling their friends about their godmother who's telling them this, who's from America, which they look up to, it kind of is that domino effect for sure.
That's really neat. So as the leader of the company, mm-hmm. You play an important role to role model your values to the people that you're doing business with. What are some of the things that are really core to your leadership philosophy, or the way that you run your company, the way that you run your life?
Well, definitely having integrity. And that's, you know, where your thoughts, your words, and your actions are all the same, no matter who's listening or who's watching. And that's personally and professionally. And, you know, again, making that difference to really work with my artisans on a one-to-one basis and knowing that I'm buying directly from them. So that's, you know, spending extra time with my artisans and treating them fairly as far as paying them and really telling their stories and about the people that I work with. And also, again, you know, making sure my clients know about my artisans and the story so they can then tell their clients. So it's helping them financially, but also people are learning about their culture and the beauty of their culture and tradition.
Right. Now, you are going to be part of this exciting Womenetics event.
Yes.
That we've got to look forward to this week. It's on emerging entrepreneurs and how to start and lead a business mm-hmm. on June 20th. This sounds like a great event. How did you get involved with Womenetics?
Well, Womenetics interviewed me a couple of years ago about my business, and that's when they had learned about me. They were doing an article focused on women-owned businesses who are empowering women. So they interviewed me then, and that was their introduction to me. And they've been following me and following my progress over the past couple of years. And yeah, so I'll be one of 8 women entrepreneurs based in Atlanta. And we all are doing really diverse, interesting, fascinating things in our own way. We all have our own journey as entrepreneurs. And so we'll be sharing our strategies and our successes and our failures and what we've learned from them as entrepreneurs. And hopefully we'll inspire other entrepreneurs who already started or to get started on their own journey as an entrepreneur.
And women, empowering women, especially those who might have a particularly challenging situation in front of them, is obviously something that's really important to you. Where do you think that came from?
That's a really good question. I think it was probably already there, but really working with these women in Guatemala when I was 24 and learning their stories and, again, seeing their courage and their resilience and their determination to get back into their villages to build them back up.
Right. That they're, what they really want is such a big part of what's mm-hmm. going to advance not just themselves, but their entire community.
Right. And then, you know, being born here in the U.S. as a woman and all the freedom and opportunities that we have, we're so blessed. And these women that I work with in Guatemala inspire me and humble me all the time, but especially when I'm down there working with them. They really are a huge inspiration for me. And those times when my business is really stressful here and I'm really removed from them, it's like taking 3 deep breaths and putting myself into what their daily lives are like and what they've had to, you know, struggle with. And of course, it's all subjective, but they, you know, looking at their daily battle and their challenges are minuscule to me and what I'm able to achieve as a woman here in the U.S., you know, all the opportunities we have.
Yes, it's really amazing when you put it into that kind of a perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, as you've grown your company, have you had mentors and advisors along the way that have helped you to continue to reach your goals and set new goals for what's possible for Collection Luna?
Well, definitely. I mean, I can, as you've learned, my parents have been a huge support system and inspiration for me. And so I definitely turn to them. I'm also.
Yeah, that was a really great $3,000 investment yes. they made, huh? Look what they
Thank you, Daddy.
Created.
Absolutely. I'm also a member of Atlanta's Women's Network for Sustainable Future, and I've met, you know, many great mentors there. And then I've got people like at CARE, which is based here in Atlanta. I'm very close with CARE and volunteer and support them on various levels. And I'm a sort of an ambassador for them. So a lot of the women there I've met who are really into international development as well have been very supportive and giving advice and mentoring me.
Now, as a small business owner, have you found that forming relationships with other larger organizations to be an important aspect of enabling you to be larger than you are as a company almost?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, partnering with CARE has been wonderful. I've been donating my handbags to their VIPs every year
at
the International Women's Day. So through that, I'm able to be with all the VIPs. So I've met, you know, their top donors from foundations, organizations, corporations, and just have met some really fascinating people and made some great networking and connections, which is very huge in business. So
yeah,
absolutely. And also I'm proud to support CARE for the work they do. I visited CARE projects on my last trip in Guatemala, and the work they do in Guatemala is amazing. And I know globally, as an organization that focuses on women's and girls, I'm honored to support them, as well as, you know, be a part of their movement to support women and girls.
So we've talked a little bit about the textiles, but for obviously our audience isn't lucky enough to be here in the studio with us. Why don't we go a little bit deeper into the product line?
Okay.
So, I mean, there's handbags, some jewelry. Talk a little bit about the different products
okay.
that are available, because I know people are going to want to buy something.
I hope so. Most of the textiles, I would say 90%, is actually made from their reclaimed clothing. So again, the audience can't see, but when you look at the handbags, the pillows, the wallets, the clutches, you can actually see the neckline of the woman's shirt.
It's really amazing
yeah.
to think about that. And now that's your fashionable handbag.
Exactly.
Toting around downtown Atlanta, right?
Totally.
Global business at its best.
Totally. And then I use, you know, their skirts or actually the fabric that they might wrap their babies in to make baby slings. So most of my product is really coming from their 2,000-year-old textile tradition of clothing, Mayan indigenous clothing. And it's, you know, 75 different handbags, more or less, and about, you know, a dozen different pillow styles, everything from yoga bags to clutches to overnight bags. And then I'm also doing a line of beaded jewelry. And the beaded jewelry is a fairly new product, which only started about 20 years ago. But you can see how they picked it up so quickly. And the colors and textures of the jewelry and the patterns are really reflective in the designs of their textiles.
Similar. It's
yeah.
interesting because you wouldn't think you'd be able to make jewelry similar to textiles.
Absolutely.
And yet the artistry is, you can definitely see that's from the same place.
Yeah, it's very reflective.
So you've had a lot of success, Stephanie. Have you had any challenges along the way?
Oh, no, not at all. It's been perfect. Yeah, I mean,
I never let my guests get away that easy.
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, as the economy hit a lot of people in the past, you know, few years, and luckily all of that is changing for me. But, you know, that was a really hard time for many reasons. Obviously, there's the ego involved beyond, you know, your wallet involved. And then,
sure.
you know, I have all these people in Guatemala that depend on me. So when the economy hit and my sales went down, my clients went out of business and such, there were some, you know, really dark moments where I wondered, you know, is this the time? you know, is this the universe telling me it's time to move on, or right. is this the universe challenging me to stay strong? And it was just that, oh my gosh, I have no idea. And I have to tell you a beautiful story. I was on a plane, about to board a plane in my friend's garden meditating, and I thought this could be my last trip to Guatemala. It had gotten that bad. Wow. And I was just like, all right, universe, God, Buddha, whoever's out there listening, I need a big sign, because I don't know if I'm being stupid by staying in business because it's time to move on, or if I'm stupid by not staying, if I'm stupid if I don't stay right. in business or stay in. And I got to the plane, and I'm sitting there. I'm in a business class because my dad got me a ticket on SkyMiles. I couldn't even buy a ticket at this point. And I'm sitting there next to this indigenous woman, and it happens to be Rigoberta Menchú, who was the 1992 Nobel Peace Prize winner for human rights. And the whole reason I went to Guatemala the first time was I read her book in my anthropology class in college.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't know if I should laugh or cry, but I was suddenly sitting next to one of the inspirations for my business.
That's amazing.
And was able to talk to her the whole 3-hour plane ride home. And I was like, all right, I'm staying in business.
That was my sign.
So that was 3 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you look for kind of guidance, it sounds like you've got a very well-developed sense of, you know, intuition. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that you hinge on when you're looking to make a decision or decide which direction to take?
Well, I definitely have a strong yoga and meditation practice, and I'm a certified yoga teacher. So I do teach yoga and meditation on the side.
Well, namaste.
Namaste back at you. So that's probably my biggest source, is just getting myself quiet. And, you know, going within, because that's, you know, for me, I generally, if I'm quiet, or I go into nature, if I'm not, you know, doing yoga or meditation at home, going into nature and just quieting my mind, because it's very easy to get the ego or the mental chatter or the world news or whatever to discourage you or stress you out.
Absolutely. There's a lot of crises to pick from if you want to.
Absolutely.
And wrap, you know, yourself in a tailspin.
And Guatemala has, you know, if I read the Guatemala news too much, I'm like, I don't want to go back there, you know, because it just, between the violence and the maternal health and the drugs and the homicides, it's just,
right.
you know, it seems like, it scares, you know, if I read too much about that news or too much about the world news, I have to just get away from everything and just, like I said, go in nature or just quiet my mind and go into yoga and meditation or my tools.
That's really great advice. So what would you say has been the most significant accomplishment thus far for Collection Luna and Stephanie Jolik, the business owner?
Well, on a business level, I think, definitely, I was recognized last year by InStyle magazine as a finalist for most socially responsible independent handbag designer.
That is a really awesome recognition.
It was a huge honor, and it was designers from all around the world. And I was a finalist, like I said, for most socially responsible independent handbag designer. That was a huge accomplishment and an award. But I think I said, when I was talking earlier about spending the time with my family and really hearing how I've impacted my life, I mean, that means, that's priceless to me. The award was wonderful, and to get that kind of recognition.
Right.
But to get the recognition from the people I've been working with for 13 years and to realize what a key part of life, or my life is in their life, that's priceless. You can't really put a value on that.
Right. Well, and I would say the fact that you know the difference between those two is a significant accomplishment in and of itself, because a lot of people reach, you know, 50, 60 years into a career and are still craving the ego, whereas mm-hmm. you've really transcended that into more of a self-actualization and creating something amazing for the community that you're doing business in.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Stephanie. Where can people buy some of this great stuff?
Well, here in Atlanta, Mingay World Arts in Decatur.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah, they're amazing. Atlanta Botanical Garden, which is another one of my favorite places. Carlos Museum at Emory University. Abadabas locations. I think they have four or five now. I'm not sure. Locations all around Atlanta in the suburbs.
Right.
So those are the best locations within Atlanta.
Place. Fantastic. And then online as
and
well?
And then online, of course, at www.coleccionluna.com. And that's ColeccionLuna.
And what inspired the name?
Well, moon collection is what it means right. in English. And for the Mayans, they were huge astronomers. So that's part of it. They really looked up to the sky for guidance. And their knowledge of astronomy is really mind-blowing when you look at what they were able to do centuries ago. But also the goddess of the moon is the goddess of weaving for the Mayan Indians, not only in a physical weaving way, but also the goddess that helps you weave your journey through life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So. I'm loving this. And if you are too, make sure that you sign up to attend the Womenetics event panel on June 20th, where Stephanie will join a diverse group of panelists to talk about emerging entrepreneurs, how to start, sustain, and succeed. And we will be hearing from a number of successful women entrepreneurs who can offer great advice. Stephanie, if you had one tip to give another woman who's looking at integrating a social vision and one that includes sustainability along with the business side of work, what would you advise someone along their journey?
Well, definitely, I think it's really important to stay true to yourself and to stand in your truth and to truly find something you're passionate about and focus on it. There's many things you can be passionate about in the world, and there's many people that need help that you can integrate a business with, but it's like really having a focus for whatever your business is, and really being true to it and really having integrity with whatever, you know, you choose to focus on.
Great advice. Well, you've been listening to Chic Perspectives with Stephanie Jolic, the CEO and president of Collection Luna. And I will post the website link on the podcast file as soon as we get off the air here. So make sure that you go out and check her stuff out, and definitely look into the Womenetics event as well. Stephanie, it's been such a pleasure having you on the air today.
It's been lovely to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for stopping by. We'd love to have you come back sometime.
Anytime.
This is Elizabeth Gordon with BusinessRadioX.com, and you can check out more interviews with great Atlanta business people every day of the week, broadcasting live from 9 to 5, and we will talk to you soon.